Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open early this Saturday morning. So if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, your question can be just about any area of law. Can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be family law, can be real estate, can be just about any area of law. You have a legal question, I'll be more than glad to try to help you. If I don't know the answer, I'd tell you that pretty quickly, but we do have resources to help you and get you informed and give you a little peace of mind with all the many contacts we have on Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. So if you'd like to call the show early this Saturday morning, it's 8:03 in the morning. So give us a call. We'll be here till about 8:52. And the phone number is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting from Jacksonville today. We either broadcast, most of the time we either broadcast from Tampa or Jacksonville. And we're in Jacksonville today, but that doesn't, you can call me from anywhere. We have office locations all over Florida, and we are here to help you if you have a legal question, maybe give you a little peace of mind, maybe something you've been worried about, maybe all night, who knows. So let's go to Scott in Jacksonville.
Hey, hello, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks. Great, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So, I've listened to your show a lot. I enjoy it quite a bit. I haven't heard this question. My niece has gotten into a timeshare she can't afford. And from all the reading I can best glean, her best option is to attempt to re-deed it back. And failing that, she has, in Florida, she has the option of a non-judicial foreclosure. And they cannot, she will not be liable for any... what is the word? Chargebacks or deficiency?
Well, yeah, if they will accept it back, you can't deed it back to them without their permission.
Right, and they won't. So they're already saying they won't. But interestingly enough, this one appears to be being charged to a credit card, which seems... So they apparently really couldn't qualify for real estate. So it appears what they did is they opened a credit card, and what they're doing is they place the monthly payment on a credit card. So it seems to me it's simply a matter of once you stop those debits from occurring, at that point you pay off the credit card.
So your niece opened the credit card?
That's how it appears, and we don't know.
Well, she can cancel. She can cancel the card.
Well, yes, and that. But we advised her don't default on that card. Although it is non-secured debt, that's not wise if you're trying to get. Establish credit. So you're better off if you can get them to stop the automatic debits from occurring, then pay it off, then you'll have to deal, I guess. And then, of course, you'll be getting phone calls from the timeshare condo saying, hey, what happened? But at that point...
Well, yeah, but the end result would still be a judgment against her possibly one day.
Yes, I agree. I agree, yeah. But I don't know another way for them, another option for them. They just don't have the money. They have children. They need to get out of this. It seems to me, in the absence of them agreeing to accept it back in a re-deed, you know, to deed it back, if they're going to force her hand, it seems like to me the best option. Do you agree? Is that good? Do you think I'm doing well, or do you have better advice?
Well, is there anyone she could give it to that would accept it?
No. No, it's one of these things. It's every other year. It's a week every other year. It's way more than they can afford. They're already underwater. They're living in a trailer. And and that's,
you know, a lot of these companies advertise that they can get you out of a timeshare.
Yes, I know that. That's not good.
Yeah, you have to pay them, and then some of these you don't get they never get you out of it, and you just paid them money to do basically nothing.
Yeah, I would like to throw out to do that.
Yeah, I'd like to throw out there, is anybody in the audience who's ever hired one of these timeshare companies to get them out of a timeshare and were successful? I'd love to hear about that, and they could probably help a lot of other people. So we'll give them a free commercial if they would like to tell their story about how they got out of a timeshare. So
yeah, but do you think I'm on the right track there, or do you think there's another way to go about it that would be better?
Yeah, I would cancel the credit card, and then if she can't pay otherwise, she can't pay. And if she can get the credit card paid off and stop future payments, then they have the option of foreclosure. And once you get in the foreclosure mode, they might be willing to accept a deed in lieu of foreclosure instead of paying the legal expenses associated with that.
Yeah, which I would expect, because it seems like this entire non-judicial foreclosure was really created to benefit the timeshare industry, because a foreclosure is lengthy and expensive. This way it allows them to receive the property back, put it back in inventory. At this time, though, they just don't seem unwilling to do it. I mean, they're looking a gift horse in the mouth. And of course,
they're still being paid every month by being able to charge a credit card, so get rid of the credit card.
Okay, but I thought they wouldn't even allow you to cancel the credit card. It seems like we need to get them to stop the recurring
debt. Well, no, if your niece opened the credit card, she can cancel it any time, of course.
Even with money on it and recurring debits occurring?
We'll cancel it for future payments.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
At least she
would have to suspend any future debits and then agree to pay the existing and then either leave it open for the purpose of improving her credit or cancel it.
I think you can stop future payments, stop the authorization for future payments, and then maybe just work on paying it off. And then they come after you, and then you can negotiate the deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, that's what we were advising her. But, you know, if you need your printer fixed, I'm the guy to call. Attorney, that's what you do.
All right, Robert, or Scott. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Robert in Pinellas.
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thank you for helping all of us out here. You really do good work. I appreciate you very much.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Well, I opened to get a MasterCard following a bankruptcy 10 years ago. I had to open a secured savings account that is money held in for the bank in the event of any non-payment of the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm understanding that I'd like to protect that money. And I talked to the bank in case of my demise prior to this being regularized. So my next of kin can extract that $500. The bank told me I had to have because I do not have a will, I was advised by my counsel previously that the estate, if you want to call it that, is so minimal that the way to go is just to communicate what I want and to avoid probate so I can avoid those fees. Long story short, the bank told me I had to, and I could have my next of kin obtain that $500 in the event of my demise with a letter of administration.
Well,
that's what I told the bank. I said that sounds. She said you just have to go to a court, and I said, well, I don't have a will, so I don't understand why the court or how the court can get involved in the event that
if your estate's $500, just ask the bank if you can just put a beneficiary on the account.
Can't do it because the bank views that as their money, and that's the whole thing. And I asked them, I said, what happens if I pass? What happens to the funds if I don't have a will and I can't put POD
Sir, there are some banks where you can set up an account and name a beneficiary, so maybe you should look at changing banks.
Okay. All right. Very good.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, no problem. Good luck to you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And let's go to Clint in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Clint.
Yeah, I've got a question concerning credit bureau information and wage garnishing. I think of something like maybe 2006, 2008, my son, he got involved with one of his phone companies. I guess he didn't fulfill his contract. And so, I mean, they wanted a balance of payment, I guess, which he ignored, I guess. Somewhere down the line, 10 years later, they're now trying to garnish his wages and stuff. I'm wondering if there was a time period in which they can really go after him. Because I used to hear something in the credit bureau.
Well, a statute of limitations on contracts generally in Florida is 5 years.
Okay.
So it'd probably take an attorney to look at the matter to see when the 5 years began to run. Because if you made payments for a few years, it might not start to run until after the last payment was made.
Okay.
But the statute of limitations on contracts is 5 years. The question usually is, when does the five-year period start?
Yeah, I think they had a hard time catching up with him because I guess I'm a senior, he's a junior, and for a while they were coming after me. You know, they were attacking me about the stuff. But I kept ignoring it because I know it wasn't me. You know?
Yeah, if you weren't contractually obligated, they couldn't really come after you. I mean, they could ask you for money, but they couldn't come after you.
Well, they kept on making a whole lot of phone calls and sending nasty grams, and which I ignore because I know I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I heard one point. If you ever, I mean, after the 5 years or 7 years run out, if they call you again and you respond to them, it starts all over again, something to that effect.
All right, Clint, I hope it helped you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Hey, what do you think the most, the best, most efficient way to leave money? Let's call leave money to an irresponsible person who could not manage money if you left them money. What would be the most responsible way to leave them money? If you leave them an outright sum of money, then they could waste it, you know, very quickly. So you need to learn how to control the money through when you pass on. You don't want to give an irresponsible person a large sum of money all at once. So I was in a discussion yesterday with a client about this, and some of the options are, one option is to give them a monthly amount. So let's say you want to give them $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month or $3,000 a month or whatever you want to give them per month. You have, and a lot of times it depends on how much money you have in the estate you're going to leave to a person and how long you want that money to last. So, for example, you could give them X number of dollars a month in, have the person in charge of handling the money pay their rent directly. That would come out of the amount of money you establish. Pay for health care, pay for medical needs, pay directly any cost for clothing. You could use gift cards to give them money weekly or monthly for food. You can give them, you know, pay the rent, pay their necessary expenses, and then give them money for food or gift cards for food, or get them to have a charge card with instructions on how much can be used at a time. And then if they don't, tell them if they violate the terms of what they've agreed to, you'll terminate the charge card and do some other ways. I mean, there are all kinds of ways to control money for the benefit of a person. And often if you were to give them money outright, you've hurt them because they're going to waste the money quickly when it could have been done something to make the money last for a long period of time. There are many unique things you can do in estate planning to be helpful to your family, and a lot of people who just do outright distributions to family have not done the beneficiary a favor. They put them in jeopardy of having the opportunity, and they usually take it to spend the money quickly and be irresponsible on things they don't possibly need. If you have a question, any question about estate planning or any other area of Florida law, give us a call. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, and we are more than glad to be here and help you with your legal question. Your question does help a lot of other people who are listening and who could use some a little bit of help and information on getting their problem solved. So again, if you're listening there, you have a no matter where you are, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, this is a large poster sheet that has discusses your options in estate planning. So you have options. You can do nothing, have a will, have a trust, or three of the options. If you choose to do nothing, of course, the state of Florida makes a will for you. If you choose a will, you need to know upon death that any assets just in your name go through probate. So a lot of people choose option number three, which is I call a trust, a living trust, or living revocable trust, a fancy will that doesn't go through probate because it's called a living trust because it's you create it while you're living, and upon your death, the trust is still living, so the assets are not in the name of a deceased person. So a lot of times the question becomes, who do you put in charge? Who would be in other, a lot of people are familiar with the word executor. In Florida, it's called personal representative is the one that's in charge of the estate. And when you do a trust, you still have a will. It's called a pour-over will. And the pour-over will leaves everything to the trust. But if you have assets in just your name, the pour-over will leaving it to the trust still goes through probate. So the idea is to create a trust and properly fund it to get assets in the name of the trust. We'll talk about funding a little bit more here in a few minutes. Let's go to Cheryl in Sarasota.
Hi. I have a landlord question. I own a property in Manatee County, and I'd like to move back into it. My tenants have violated the lease a little bit, but they've been so nice to me, I don't feel like evicting them. But I'd like to know, do I have any grounds to move back in myself and shorten their lease? Their lease is up at the end of March.
No, if you have a contractual written lease and they're not really in violation of it, I think judges, for the most part, if you take them to court and try to evict them for some reason and it's a marginal reason, the judge would normally side in the favor of the tenant. So you have to have a pretty major reason most of the time to evict them. You could. The best way to do it is just talk to them and ask them if they could possibly leave early, that you want to move back in. Maybe give them a little break on the rent or something if they would leave early.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go to, probably should have asked what was the minor thing they violated on the lease to get a better understanding of that, but let's go to Tom in Sarasota.
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, I got a question about my mother-in-law died a couple of weeks ago, and she left $5,000 insurance policies with no will. And I was wondering, what is the procedure to follow up on that? Because it's supposed to go into her estate, I guess it said. And
well, the beneficiary of the policy was the estate.
Yes.
Well, that's unfortunate because most times the person that owns a life insurance policy will name a beneficiary, and it shouldn't really be their estate because that just forces it through probate.
Yeah.
So you got two $5,000 policies without a beneficiary, so you'd have to, without a will, You'd have to hire an attorney to start the probate proceeding. So without, so the mother-in-law did. So was she married?
Yes, yes, and her husband's passed.
Oh, he had passed first.
He's already passed. Okay. Yeah, both. Yes, he passed first.
And how many children did she have?
Three.
So typically, what has to happen is the three of them, two of them, have to agree upon who would be appointed the personal representative of the estate.
Okay.
Because it's less than $75,000, you might possibly be able to do what's called a summary administration. So a summary administration is a short form of a probate. Are there any creditors floating around out there?
No.
So with no creditors, you probably could do what's called a summary administration probate.
Uh-huh.
So your wife is one of the children, right?
That's correct.
So would she want to be, somebody has to honcho this thing to hire someone to get the proceeding started.
Yeah, she'll be the one to do that, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you all have an attorney, she needs to. If you have an estate planning attorney, she needs to contact that. If she has any questions and doesn't have an attorney, I'd be glad to answer any questions she might have.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, to call the radio show today. You have we're about halfway through the show. You have a toll free number 877-943-9673. And let's go to Stacy in Clearwater. Hey, Stacy.
Appreciate it. Hello, I appreciate you taking my call. Quick question. My husband and I purchased a property back in August, and it came with a tenant. We purchased it to live in, and the previous owner, she had it as a rental property. We just extended the original lease that the previous owner had with the tenant. The stipulation in the lease was that they would stay no longer than December 31st. And my question is, if they notify me, because they're building a house, and that's what, you know, why they're staying there right now. My question is, if they are not ready or able to move out by December 31st, what legal rights do I have to get them out of there with the lease saying that it ends December 31st?
Well, I would communicate with them in writing that you're not going to extend the lease if that's what you're not going to do, and that you would like to for them to know that ahead of time so they can make arrangements to leave by then and see what kind of response you get. If they stay,
they're not very cooperative. they're not very easy people to deal with, and so I'm wondering if my hand is forced.
Yeah, you can evict them, of course.
Okay. How in Florida, because I'm new to Florida and the law is here, so in Florida, is there like a certain amount of time that I have to notify them in advance? I mean, I really didn't want to have to go through the courts. Is there, you know, is there some way that, is there like a 10-day, 30-day or
no,
something?
No, but
like
I would send them a certified letter.
Okay.
You know, as soon as you can, that you are not going to extend the lease past December 31st.
Okay, that answers
and
my
that
question.
I would give them notice, even though you might not have to give them notice. But you know, mm-hmm. If you want to make it perfectly clear, they need to leave by December 31st. That would put you in a better position if they try to stay.
I gotcha. All right, thank you for answering my question.
All right, thank you. Mm. All right, let's go to Michael in Bradenton.
Morning, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
Great. Just a question about a living trust. We have a living trust and will and all the other stuff, but we have one child. If we would both die, my wife and I would both die, our house, which, you know, is not completely paid for, but will be, and then we have three cars that there's nothing owed on, do we have to put those into the trust in order for my daughter to be able to avoid going through probate with that stuff?
Well, automobiles don't necessarily go through probate, but your home Automobile is kind of an exception that's usually fairly easy to work with for the personal representative of the will to deal with that without going through a probate process. Your home, so it's a regular home. It's not a mobile home. It's a single-family home where you have a deed.
Yeah,
if I were doing your trust for you, I would have put that into the trust when the trust was created with what's called a quitclaim deed. And there's special language that has to be in the trust and the deed to preserve the homestead protection.
Okay. So that's not something we can do now?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the trust is like a bucket. The way I like to describe a trust is like a bucket. You have the rest of your life to put things in or take things out. So a quitclaim deed can still be done to your trust.
Okay. And then our bank accounts, we have added her name to all of our bank accounts. So those don't need to be in the trust if the only reason...
Well, by adding her name to your accounts, she's a co-owner. And if she were to get sued, divorced, have an accident, then her creditor situation could affect your ownership. So I think I would probably advise against that and put the asset in the trust, the bank account in the trust, and that way it can also be used for your benefit if you become incapacitated before death and you're not subject to your child's liability.
So if we put the bank account in the trust, do I then have to take her name off of the account? Or
yes.
It won't matter if it's in the trust?
No, you have to take her name off, which is what you should do anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the information.
All right. If you need any other further help, I'd be glad to answer more questions for you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Excuse me. Let's go to Dan in Jacksonville.
Can you hear me, Joe?
I can.
Okay, a non-family member verbally told me 4 or 5 years ago that I'm listed as a beneficiary in their trust and or will. I'm not 100% sure what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
How can I find out, assuming they pass away before I do, that I am indeed listed as a beneficiary in assuming they have a trust? I mean, with absolute certainty, because there is an obligation on their part financially that they're trying to cover by putting me in there and listing me as a beneficiary, a past financial obligation that they failed on. And so I'm just wondering, how do I or anybody, for that matter, find out if they're listed as a beneficiary once somebody passes away?
Well, you can demand from the trustee a copy of the trust stating that you've been told you're a beneficiary and see what happens.
Okay.
If you're not a beneficiary, they can say, well, you're not a beneficiary, not entitled to a copy of the trust. And then you could have a battle if you want to fight to see a copy of the trust, because if you're not a beneficiary, you're not really entitled to a copy of the trust.
Okay.
The person that promised you that was the person that created the trust?
Yes, as far as I know.
Would you be bold enough to ask them if you could have a copy of the trust for your records? Because
their mental capacity isn't what it used to be, and so it's a very strained situation. So I don't, the wife might down the road. I don't know. We'll have to see. Now, are some trust? Do they have a will inside a trust?
Well, the trust. When I do a living trust for a client, there's a will that I prepare that goes along with the trust. It's called a pour-over, P-O-U-R, pour-over will. And it leaves loose ends, we'll say, to the trust that didn't get put in the trust it should have. It also creates what's called a separate writing for personal things like jewelry, furniture, knickknacks, family, pass-me-down items in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you do have a will. It's not within the trust, though. It's a separate document that leaves assets to the trust that weren't placed in the trust that should have been.
Okay. Is that a public document once a person passes away or not?
Yeah, but yes, it should be. It's a statute that says it must be filed within 10 days.
Okay.
But that will leaves everything to the trust, so the list of the beneficiaries is not in that document. So the living trust is a private document.
Okay. Yes, I understand that. I actually have one myself. Excuse me. So then, once somebody passes away and they've got a living trust, is the trustee obligated in the state of Florida within a certain timetable to try to fulfill the obligation of a trustee? I mean, do they have a year, 2 years? Is there any kind of
no? Pretty much the statutes say a reasonable time.
Okay.
So there's no exact number of days that you must provide the beneficiaries a copy of the trust or even make the final distribution.
Okay.
But you can have an attorney write if you think it's passed, the person's died, and you haven't heard anything, and you don't think you're going to. They're going to cooperate in giving you a copy of the trust if you're a beneficiary or not. Have an attorney write a letter on your behalf.
Okay, and that's something your office could do if I wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do that, if I had to.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And anybody told you lately what a great job you're doing?
Well, I hear it once in a while, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying that. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Hey, you got a little situation, a little problem. I would like to just help you if I can. If you listen to the show, you know it's a 52-minute straight run, or about 50 minutes straight run, no commercials. I won't do a show where they make me run commercials on it. And I don't do, the only thing I come close to a commercial is offering to give you my free estate planning poster sheet. If you'd like to learn more about estate planning. So, if you would like that, by the way, so why don't I just do that now? Let me get out the phone number, Silco, so we have open lines. We have about 19 minutes left in the show. If you have a question, give us a call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And by the way, I'm a Florida attorney, licensed only in Florida. I know we have listeners from all over. I get calls once in a while from different parts of the country. But I'm licensed in Florida, and hopefully I know what city you're calling from. But if you're calling me from Clearwater, but you're a resident of New York visiting, you need to know that I'm a Florida attorney. So if you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, it's holding one in my hand right now. It's a large poster sheet with five articles about estate planning. These are published articles in one of the several books we've written. There's an article on what is estate planning. There's an article on the difference with a little chart between wills and trust. There's a chart on the cost of probate. That would be a shocker to most people seeing what that would cost. There's a diagram article about trusts and how they work with pictures of the trust and pour-over will and trustees and Schedule A of the trust. There's an article about the three options in estate planning. All that's on one side of the big sheet. On the back side of the big sheet, is there a website information? Some of the little buttons that you can push on the website with like service and fees. We give you, you can go to that site and see what we charge for different things. If you're trying to choose an attorney. And, of course, at least part of that might be on what the attorney is going to charge you. We're very open with what our fees are and post them on the website. There's a list of attorneys associated with the firm. There's offices, addresses, and local phone numbers for the offices we have. And we have down at the bottom of it has some of our radio show information. If you'd like this sheet, I'd love to send it to you. You can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number. And by the way, all of the cities that have called, Jacksonville, we have offices. Pinellas County, we have two offices. Sarasota, we have an office. Liquid Ranch, Clearwater, that's Pinellas, Bradenton. We have an office in Sun City Center. All of those offices where we've received calls, we have office locations to meet you. There's no charge for the first appointment on any meetings that relate to estate planning and some other topics. If you'd like to receive this sheet, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you'd like to email me, my email address is joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Email me your name and address at Joe at attypip.com. If you'd like to text me your name and address, you can do that at 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Anna in St. Petersburg.
Hello.
Hey, Anna.
Oh, is this, it's Dana.
Dana, okay.
Okay, I have a question. I have 6 kids. They're now adult kids. Like my oldest is 19, or my youngest is 19.
Mm-hmm.
But while they were little, we had a will, or whatever, I don't even know what it's called, to where my sister would get the kids and get everything.
The guardian. Mm-hmm.
So now that they're adults.
Now that provision in your will is basically null and void.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Because you named a guardian and that provision is null and void, you also named a personal representative / executor, and you might want to change that person to be a different person now that you might want to name one of your kids to be the personal representative.
Okay.
So there might be another good reason to change your will, and it might be also a good reason to hear what your options are in estate planning, because you could do a living trust to avoid probate. So, but probably that should be discussed with you as well.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to James in Crystal River.
Hey, how's it going?
James, what station? Good. What station are you listening to?
107.5.
And that's a classic rock station there in Crystal River?
Yeah, right out of Citronelle, yeah.
Yeah, you might be the only classic rock station that I'm on.
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, anyways, I have a question. My son and his wife are splitting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she basically worked, well, he went to school for a while, okay, which was 2 years or so, but she didn't pay any rent or anything like that because they lived with their mother. Now the house issue has come up where because he was going to school, he didn't show any kind of income really other than a part-time job. So the house is in her name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he has paid into the account that the house payment automatically gets taken from. For all this time, he's wondering what he needs to do to be able to get, when this house is sold, his equal share. Although he's not on it, he has made payments and everything and has documentation.
Yeah, how long have they been married?
3 or 4 years, I believe 4 years.
Well, so what normally happens in a divorce, they both fill out financial affidavits when they file the divorce. If they can't agree on things like that, then they need an attorney that would work that out. The easiest, least costly method, of course, is to have an agreement between two of them, if they can come to that, about who gets what and how much and so forth. If they can't agree, then it goes before the court. The court basically decides. That's a short-term marriage of under 7 years. So the longer you're married, of course, the more it becomes like over 17 years is pretty much a 50-50 division.
Yeah.
But on a 3 or 4 year marriage, it's kind of unknown, and the court is going to see the financial affidavits they both sign and make some decisions if they can't do it themselves. Is there any equity in the home?
Yeah. Probably about, at this point, depending on what it sells for, probably $30,000 to $40,000.
And that's after real estate commissions and all of that?
Yeah, that's what it should be anyways. That's going off a low estimate of property value and home value and everything.
Well, they should sit down and try to work it out. So would your son be okay with like 25% of the equity?
He really just wants to get away from her. She cheated on him and so forth, and I guess somebody told him in Florida. I know in Ohio you can't get somebody. It's just, you know, irreconcilable differences or whatever. But
yeah, there's a no fault.
If you have a,
it's a no fault state, yeah, basically. So they have no children.
Yeah. No children.
Well, would she be agreeable if he just signed the deed over to her and not ask for anything?
Well, here comes the trick. Then he would like to purchase the house.
I see.
Because he's now out of school and has
I don't think the court would grant that. So he probably, either she agrees to that and he agrees to take over the mortgage. If they agree to that, that might work. But if she wants something, piece of the equity, then they, that has to be negotiated, and she'd probably wind up with part of that anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out. So the house, would the mortgage company actually be able to transfer the name?
Yeah, your son would.
Title the mortgage?
Yeah, your son would apply for the mortgage, and it can be worked out where she's released if they accept him.
So it wouldn't be like going back and paying to buy the house, actually, you know, with all the closing costs and all that kind of stuff, correct?
No, just be a transfer to from her to him with an arrangement where he's approved of the mortgage and she gets released.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's cool. Because
well, if he qualifies for the mortgage, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, yeah, he will. So, I mean, he's stressing and he's stressing me out, too. You know, kids
I know.
So, anyways. Well, hey, appreciate the time, man. I didn't even know your show was on the station. I turn the station on every morning when I'm out working in the garage, and I heard it. I'm like, man, this would be a good opportunity. I appreciate it, Joe.
Well, I like coming up there. Once in a while, I get a call where I have a reason to come up that way. So I have an office that I, with one of the financial planners I work with, has given me, if I had more clients, I'd set up my own office up there. But I'd love to come up there. I've spoken at a couple of churches up that way that invited me to come speak. So I'm looking for speaking opportunities and clients in that area so I can get rolling up there. So,
yeah, cool. And I know he will or they will need at least one attorney. I know in Ohio you just need one attorney to represent both people in like an annulment and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's always better to have two, though, one representing each side. But if the parties can work everything out, that certainly makes it easier. And if they work everything out, and the one attorney, you know, like she could waive her right to an attorney if, for example, we were representing the son. So.
Right. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, sounds good. We may be in touch with you, Joe.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Let's go to Levi in Jacksonville.
Yes. My question was, you were talking about how you could make somebody only get $1,000 or $2,000, whatever, leaving to an irresponsible person?
Yes.
This irresponsible person I know is my sister, and our mother left us all money, but left me and my brother and my other brother a lump sum. But she likes to smoke that, you know, funny tobacco, and she's not very responsible. And she's getting the same amount, but she's spending it out to, like, I think it's $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty, you know, $300,000. That lasts for, you know, pretty, till she dies or ODs or something. But she says she's going to go through that J.G. Wentworth. Is that possible for her to do that? If the will says she, you know, she can only get it like that, or can she said I'm going to find out. She knows how much she gets and go through J.G. Wentworth or somebody like that that can get her the money.
Well, the money's in charge of the, well, anybody can contest a clause in a will or trust, but it's going to be very difficult. And so, J.D., would she try to sell her share?
Right, right. I mean,
yeah.
And I was wondering how much of those guys would take. Like,
well, yeah, the trustee would have to agree to that, and trustee probably wouldn't agree to that. So she might be dead in the water on that.
Well, so J.G. wouldn't be able to fight it and help her, right?
Well, they could, but it would be a big battle, and if she'd be using probably her share of the money in the trust to pay for it. So
okay, man.
All right.
All right, that's all I want to know, because I thought you're crazy, and this is all you need anyhow.
All right.
No, I want it all. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 7 minutes left in the show. You have time to be a caller at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open now. Let's go to, after Shelly, they're open. Let's go to Shelly in St. Pete. Hey, Shelly. I guess Shelly's not there. Nope. Okay. Okay, so you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, and we have time for you to call in at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to try to help you if we can. And let's go to Mary in Tampa.
Hi.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah. Good. I appreciate your being on there for us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I want to put my daughter on my deed. What do I do to do that?
All right, so this is your homestead?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, I would usually advise against that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is she going to live there with you?
Yes, uh-huh. She does live there now, and I'll be living there. I live there also.
What's your level of certainty that she will stay there with you?
She's always been with me, and I'm 83 years old. So, I mean, I'm 80 years old. My husband's 82.
And do you have other children?
I have other children, but I only have two that are on mine. That I'm giving the place to, they're supposed to divide it.
Well, I think it'd be better for you to be in full control of the house, and mm-hmm. you are now, so why change that? Just have a will or a trust that leaves it equally to the two and omit the other ones from being receiving an inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a trust already.
Yeah, well, as the property's in the trust, and does the property leave it to the two of them?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I would stick with that. If you put your daughter's name on there, that's a gift. That means it has to come out of the trust.
Uh-huh.
And then if the value of the gift is more than $15,000, you have to do a gift tax return.
Oh.
If you die, the property gets a stepped-up cost basis. If you put her name on there, then the your cost basis gets frozen on her half at the amount of what it was. At time of death, if you leave it the way it is, it gets a stepped-up cost basis.
Uh-huh.
And generally, I can't think of any good reason to, particularly since you have a trust, to put her name on it now. Because
uh-huh.
you need to get yeah. it appraised, and you have to file a gift tax return. If she would ever go out on her own and doesn't live there, then you have a person that owns half the house that's not entitled to a homestead uh-huh. exemption on it.
Yeah.
So there are lots of reasons, so I usually try to talk people out of doing that.
Yeah. But if you do it, what's the procedure?
If you do it, we just take it, we do a quitclaim deed from you to both of you.
Uh-huh.
And that puts her name on, as an owner.
Yeah, and what's the cost of that?
We do a deed like that for $250.
Uh-huh.
Let's say $250.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thank you for your information. Very helpful.
All right, thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We are here every Saturday morning at 8:02 to 8:52. And we're here mainly to help people understand their legal questions and problems and to sort them through that, give them a little peace of mind, and help them as much way as we can. So if you have friends that have problems and they're asking you answers, hey, tell them to listen to Ask an Attorney. Don't get too involved, because if you are not an attorney, you might give the wrong answer, or there might be not enough questions or not enough information in the tried information they give you. They always give you information to try to give you enough to slant the answer to what they want to hear. Well, hey, you don't always hear that on Ask an Attorney. I might ask a few questions and that changed the whole answer. So, hey, if you're listening in Jacksonville, there's a great real estate show coming on with Angela and Howard. And I tell you, it's my favorite real estate show, and I listen to it on my way out of here, back to where I'm going. And very educational, enjoyable in show. And even I learn a few things about real estate and listings and all the things realtors do that you don't really think about to help you sell your property. All right. So if you'd like to contact us again for the estate planning poster sheet, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you'd like to email me, you can do that at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You want to text me at 727-667-3967. Hey, you have a wonderful weekend. So long.